صلى الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Since the earliest times, prehistoric times, when man came to the earth. See that he was living his life in a state where obviously when he became hungry, he went out to hunt for food. When he felt the elements of weather, he built a place for himself to shelter him, to protect him from the elements of nature. When he felt that he had to excrete what he has eaten, he would go and make a hole in the ground and take his turn there. So, as man progressed and advanced, now the caves turned to mud, and hunting was soon replaced by agriculture. And we see that the holes in the ground were changed to bathrooms and washrooms. And now as man progressed more, we see that not only was hunting a thing of the past, but also was agriculture and growing things on the farm. Now most people would just go to the store and buy stuff. And the homes changed from caves to mud to clay to bricks to steel. Bathrooms went from hole in the grounds to trees to public holes and then to bathrooms in their own private bedrooms. Man advanced and progressed and became technologically advanced. And now, you see, when we look at this progress of thousands of years, and when we look at this advancement of thousands of years, the question is, what has changed? The man that, when he felt the elements of the weather, used to find shelter He used to find caves. Those caves became buildings. But the concept of seeking a shelter is the same. When a man became hungry, he hunted for food. That hunting became farming, and that farming became shopping. But the hunger remained the same. When a man had to go, when nature calls, it used to be trees, then holes in the ground, then bathrooms, but still you see that the natural process of digestion is the same. 10,000 years ago, when a woman used to have a child and would see a child in someone else's arm, would feel the love of motherhood in her own self, still a woman feels the same. So this advancement, this technological progress, what has it changed in human beings? The question is, what was the change? What is the change? The answer is, mankind is still the same. We are still the same. Today, in those days, we used to pick out leaves to wipe ourselves. Now we do it with tissue. But we are doing the same thing. Man hasn't changed. People haven't changed. Just the means of how they get these things done have changed. Only the means by which we do things have changed. So when we look at all of history and people say, oh, that was a different time, this was a different time, it is a different time, but the people are the same. We are the same. If you were born 10,000 years ago, we are still the same. We have the same emotions, the same ambitions, the same motivation, the same inclinations. Human nature hasn't changed. So now, the only thing that's important for us to realize is that if human beings have not changed with all the progress in the world, I mean, it's not as if now we have another eye behind our head. Or, for example, we have another leg to walk on. Or we have modified into something else. We look at ourselves, we see we're the same. So, if human beings are the same, then my friends, the rules and regulations that apply to human beings for their happiness and well-being must also be the same if human beings are the same. So a rule that was revealed 10,000 years ago, it doesn't need to change if it is meant for human beings. A law that was made 5,000 years ago, if it was made for human beings, then human beings haven't changed. The law also should not change and must not change. The law is the same. And hence, when we look at this, my brothers and sisters, we all, people, have always been the same throughout our history. And hence, that's the reason why we see history repeats itself. Because it's the same people that are living over and over and over again. The same set of characters that are living over and over again. That's the reason when we look back at history, all we need to do is analyze the different characters in light of revelation, in light of the sayings and the teachings of revelation, so that we know what character belongs on which side? Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, this is the reason why we see Allah describe characters in the Quran. These characters are not specific individuals, but is a character that lives in people. These characters that Allah describes, you see, rarely Allah take a name of a character, a specific name. The only places we see that Allah took specific names really is when it came to the uncle of the Prophet and he says about Abu Lahab. He cursed Abu Lahab. Now, every other character, you see, Allah did not put a name on it. He described a character.
Wow.
This is the only place where he takes a name. You see, because of the fact that Allah knew characters would repeat themselves, but the Prophet would never have an uncle like this. No one can emulate what Abu Lahab had done. Because of the uncles the Prophet had, he was the evil one, and hence there would be no other Abu Lahab. That's why he mentions Abu Lahab. He does not mention all the other characters by name. He mentions them with qualities because these others repeat themselves. If he had mentioned their names, then they would be restricted to them. So when Allah speaks about munafiqun and hypocrites, so now if he had mentioned names, then the concept of munafiq would be restricted to them. And everyone would say, oh, these were the hypocrites. Right? These were the hypocrites, not us. But you have the same qualities that they do, still, but they are the hypocrites.
Wow, that's right.
Allah has restricted all the hypocrites in these people. You see, that's the reason Allah never mentioned hypocrites. He mentioned the qualities of a munafiq. So that this character, which is a munafiq, can be understood and can be recognized no matter what time he lives in. What age he lives in, what era he lives in, you can see the qualities. Now what happened, people have left understanding and dwelling into these qualities and knowing who these characters are. But Allah has mentioned them when we see the life of the Prophet and when we see the revelation of Allah in the Quran, you see different characters he mentions. For example, the people that Prophet had to deal with. He dealt with, for example, kuffar, or infidels. He dealt with mushrik, idolaters. He dealt with munafiqeen, hypocrites. He dealt with jahileen, or ignorant. He dealt with Mu'mineen, believers. You see, different characters Allah is describing in the Quran. And what we need to see is in terms of our Imam, the last Imam. Because the Imams dealt with characters. And especially when we look at the life of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He describes these characters that he dealt with. Who were these people that Imam Ali dealt with in his life? In his rule, in his reign. Who were these people? How did they help him? And how did they hurt him? how did Imam Ali describe them? This is something that for us is important to understand. When we look at these different groups of people that Imam Ali had to deal with. And he describes them in his books and in hadith. That we will go into. And in all, there are six groups of people that Imam Ali describes that he has to deal with or he dealt with. And knowing these six people, obviously for us, is important to know, because these people, these characters, they affect the establishment of a system. They affect the reign of rule and justice. And knowing who these people are would help us to understand what group of people we fall under. Which group do we fall under? And just for today, just an introduction is necessary, and from tomorrow we will dwell into the subject of the six groups. And in these 15 days, hopefully, with Allah's blessing, we will be able to have some understanding of who these six groups of people are that the Imam dealt with, and what were their roles in the help and the damage they did to the Imam, or the rule of justice at the time of the Imam. When we look at them, then more understanding will be gained as to what happens when these people are there. So, in short, the subject can be described as helpers and posers. Who helps and who poses? Who is the true helper of the Imam? And who is a poser? Who pretends to help the Imam? And this is something that we will dwell into, just as an introduction for today, as to know what it means. A lot of times in our lives, we see that whenever we come across an intersection in our lives where we are undecided, we are under a trial or a test, and we have to make a decision somehow. You see, there is always a way that Allah has arranged for you. There's always a way that Allah has arranged for you. And there's always a way that Shaitan also has arranged for you. And hence, now when we look at this situation and that intersection, most of the times we see human beings choose a way other than Allah's way. Allah gives the way, and the answer is real. The help is real. But it requires some effort, and it requires sacrifice. Shaitan shows the way, and the promise is fruitful. The promises are big. And it looks easier. Human beings intend to take the latter because of the fact it's easier to follow. The promises he gives are easier to follow, and they take that one. You see, this happens not just with people, but with nations. With nations. You know, the dilemma in Iraq and the situation in Iraq, you see, has boggled the minds of many. There was an answer that Allah had given them. There was a way out that Allah had given them. The Iraqis were under the brutal rule of Saddam. They were looking for a way out. They were making dua for a way out. They were looking for any answer that would come that would take them out of the plight that they are in. So now when the answer came from Allah, you see, they overlooked that. They ignored it. They ignored that. And then when Shaitan sent them an answer, and Shaitan sent them away, and it looked very fruitful. It looked very fruitful. You see, they accepted it. And now many wish that they can go back to the old days. Many ways that the situation they are in is worse than the situation they were in. They understood that. And what happened? They did not choose the path that Allah sent for them, even though in that path there was more effort and sacrifice required. And they chose the path that was easy. You have this big army that comes and says, we will take care of your business, you sit in your homes. It looks pretty easy. We don't have to go out and do anything. We don't have to sacrifice our lives. We don't have to hurt ourselves. So let's not do anything, let them do everything. Well, they came in. But they came in with other problems that were not expected, which should have been expected if they know the history of human beings. If they knew the history of the Quran, they should have expected that. But they didn't. You see, the issue is, my brothers, when we look at our lives and we see the intersections that we come to, choosing the path that Allah has arranged is what we want to do. But what we end up not doing. So how can we help ourselves to know that out of the options I have, which is the option that Allah gave me? Which is the option that Allah sent for me? How do I know that? That's the reason we need to see who were the different groups that were with the Imam, so that we understand, are we following the path of those who are with the truth or those who are against the truth? That's the reason Allah went into history describing the forces of evil, the forces of up, so that we can look at their qualities and see ourselves in those qualities. This is the reason that we learn this. And the only way to know Allah's option is to know what Allah has revealed to us or what Allah has sent to us. And there's only two things that came from Allah. One which He revealed, the other which He showed. He revealed the Quran and He showed the Ahlul Bayt.
SubhanAllah.
See that? This is the reason that what He showed, that He revealed to us in the Quran. Quran is the theory, and the Bayt are the practice.
SubhanAllah.
That's beautiful.
The Book of Allah is the Word, and Ahlul Bayt are its demonstration. And then through these we learn what Allah's answer is and what Allah's option is in our problem, in the problems that we face, in any dilemma that we face in our lives. That's where we come to a standstill, and that's where we would know what is right and what is wrong. Who are the ones? It is through them we understood that. Knowledge is through them, not us. That's the reason we make mistakes, and we make mistakes because of the fact that we choose not based on what Revelation said or what Ahlul Bayt showed, but on what we thought was right. That's why we made wrong choices, wrong decisions that made many human beings go on a path that is undesirable and will not lead to everlasting happiness. Because the true objective, my brothers, in all of this is to find that everlasting happiness. That's what we are looking for. That's what we are looking for. You know, when we look at the scenery of an ocean, this example I give you to make you understand that, you know, at the beginning, walking on the path of truth is easy. But when you start walking on it, that's when it gets hard. And for one reason, when you don't walk on the path of truth, all you deal with is your nafs, your desire. When you walk on the path of truth, then you have to deal with shaitan also.
SubhanAllah.
I mean, shaitan gave his address in the Quran. He showed the people where I live. He told them, this is where I live, this is where I stay, and if you want to find me, you can find me there. If you want to fight me, you can fight me there. I'm ready for you. He says, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Allah, I sit on your straight path.
SubhanAllah.
I sit on your straight path, and I wait for people to come on your straight path so I can send them back. So shaitan doesn't sit in casinos and bars and clubs. He doesn't go to those places. He's not unemployed. He's not wasting his time. He is someone who has work to do. And you see, this guy is there to do work. He sends people there. He doesn't go there. Where does he sit? He sits on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, he said, on the right path. On Allah's path. That's where I sit. You can find me there. So where do you find shaitan? You find them wherever the path of truth is being spoken of. You find shaitan wherever the path of truth and Islam is being revealed. So if we are talking of truth here, then you find shaitan at the door of Madinatullah. That's where he sits, and that's where he greets everyone. That's where he greets everyone, because, you know, shaitan is not afraid of those people who are already lost. They are lost. Not because of him, because of their nafs. Most people, shaitan has to put no effort on. Why? Because they're already lost. Their desires have betrayed them. Their desires have overwhelmed them, and they're lost. They are lost because of that. Shaitan is concerned about those people who are not lost. And they're walking on the path of truth. That's where he comes, and that's where he tells us and makes problems for us. You know, this, my brothers and sisters, this is such a thing. And if you want to know about shaitan, you know, in Ramadan, he's in jail. Right? He's in jail in Ramadan. And it's true, he's in jail. When he goes to jail, he makes a problem, and he gets out, he makes a problem. Right? And you see, in Ramadan, we have the Ummah of Islam, right? Us as individuals, you know, a lot of people say, you know, even in Ramadan we do wrong. Well, that's because of your nafs, right? your own desires. That's what you do wrong. Not because of shaitan. Right? Shaitan creates two problems that has to do with Ramadan. At the beginning of Ramadan, at the ending of Ramadan. You see, one problem is always there for the Ummah. That is the Hilal. The new moon. He makes a problem going in jail and he makes a problem coming out of jail. You know? And this is the problem the whole Ummah faces together. You know? So the fact that happens is this. When we look at Shaitan, we see that he only deals with us when we are walking on the straight path. When we want to obey Allah. When we want to follow Allah. So when that is the case, then that's the reason it becomes harder for you now. It becomes harder for you when you want to be good. That's when he comes in and makes problems. You see, a person I know myself, he was a youngster when I met him. And after talking to him, this and that, he became religious. He was young. And he became so religious that, you know, he used to go and pray at the masjid. And, you know, in a Muslim country, right, like masjids, you know, are everywhere. You know, you go to a masjid. Most of the times, you only see old people in the masjid. Right? Old people, that's it. Retired old people who are not in the masjid. That's the only people you see in the masjid. You never see young people there. It's rare to find young people. So he used to go there every day and people were impressed by him. And they used to ask him to read the dua. And he used to read the dua after prayer, you know. So, you know, he was one of the, for example, boys that everyone liked and respected. And one day he wanted to do something more. So he said, I want to go to the house. Study. Okay? You know, so he went to the house. Started studying there. I met him about 4 years later, and he was complaining to me that, you know, when I used to pray then, my heart was in prayer, my mind was in prayer, and I used to feel so good. Now it's so hard for me to pray. Now it's so hard for me, and I thought it would get better. And here, I just want you to understand one thing. You know, I told him that, you know what, your prayer has gotten better. Your prayer has gotten better. He said, but I don't feel the same way like I used to. He said, because in those days, Shaitan was bothering me. Shaitan, now you have to overcome him and defeat him in order to get that feeling. So your status before Allah has just gone up.
Wow. SubhanAllah.
Your status before Allah has just gone up. This is how you know you walk on the straight path. This is how you know, not that your mind, oh, alhamdulillah, I feel so good, you know. Why are you feeling so good, man? Who was Shaitan? You know, I mean, you have to face it. We are not the super believers. We are the everyday Joe believers. You know, we are the everyday Joe believers. We have problems. You know, we have problems. We are not the ones. So, listen. If we only those people who are at that level of faith, you see, are defeated Shaitan, and are then they pray, they have complete obedience to Allah and complete focus in prayers. When we are praying, why aren't we being bothered by Shaitan? That should be the question we are asking ourselves. Why aren't we bothered by Shaitan? Why isn't he bothering us? Why isn't he turning our mind away from Allah? Because the fact is that we haven't defeated him yet. Right? We haven't defeated him. And the fact is that he is there lurking for us. If he is not bothering us, then it's an issue for us. He doesn't think we are worthy of being bothered. So my brothers and sisters, you see, knowing how you walk on the straight path. How do you know that? The means are different in it. You know it when Shaitan is coming at you. When he is bothering you and distracting you. That's how you know that you are improving. And the defeat of Shaitan comes in a long effort of obedience to Allah. That will come later. But right now, all I want you to understand is that when you walk on Allah's path, do not think that it's going to be easy. It is difficult because Shaitan is the hindrance. He stands there for us. It is difficult. Yes, when you and the example I was going to give you for make you understand, you see the image of an ocean is very nice. You know, it's always nice to put an image of the ocean in a picture and it looks pristine, beautiful, it looks calm. But what happens when you get into it? You know? What happens when you get into that ocean? Then you see the strength, the power, and the depth of that ocean. And the dangers that are in it. It's very easy to look at an ocean and have a beautiful image in our mind. Well, you know, this is Islam. When you look at it from far, yes, it's beautiful. The path of Allah is like that. It's beautiful, you look at it this and that. But when you start walking in it, then you see the dangers that are lurking inside.
SubhanAllah.
That's how you know what is happening to you. What you have to overcome to become. Because the path of Allah doesn't take you to something that is base and low. It is expecting you to become great.
SubhanAllah.
And the only way for you to become great is to go through those tests that are necessary for you to become great. These are things that you have to pass through. And that's the reason we want to learn those qualities of the people who were with Imam Ali and that Imam Ali dealt with.
SubhanAllah.
So that when we learn about those people, then we would know that yes, this is what is intended. And this is what we should be, this is what we should not be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this holy Maqam Ramadan to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Wisdom to reappearance of my mom. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa'akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Any questions, brother? Yes.
I had talked to a Sheikh back
Oh, yeah.
From years ago.